It's a Panthers pre-game podcast on Panthers Radio, and we're going to look ahead to the weekend and reflect on the past few days and talk all things Panthers and maybe a few other things as well. Joined as usual by Jono Bullard, Dan Green, and Ken Feast. Evening all.
Evening.
Evening.
So let's start by speaking about Sheffield Steelers in Europe and how great that. Oh, no, note to self, I got roundly booed almost, I think, when I tried to bring that up in the pre-game podcast the other week.
I'm rightly so.
Actually, they've done even better since we last spoke, haven't they? But anyway, note to self, we won't talk about that. Maybe we'll just end on it and you can.
No, I think it's good that the Champions League looked at the format, changed the format, and you know, I think that's. That, yeah, they want to encourage the smaller teams to get involved.
love it. Right, guys, let's start with you. Let's start with you, Ken. You were the first voice there. What a weekend. First of all, I mean, we could talk about Manchester, but let's talk about the home game because that's a game, of course, that you're at the heart of. What a great game. You had everything. And I'll tell you something. My young son, Bobby, he's 9 years old. He loves his football now. He likes his ice hockey, but sometimes he can drift away in the game. He was gripped in that third period. And, you know, it was such a great game with ebbs and flows. And that had everyone on the edge of their seat. And Panthers won that game. There's a lot to be positive about from Saturday. Let's touch on that first.
I think if you came to that game and you watched that game, yeah, you know, you listen to Danny Stewart in the post game interview, and you know you listen to obviously was it Davis Bunt? I think you caught up with in midweek on the press conference, and you know both saying you know there's more we want to do, there's more we think we can be better and stuff like that, and. But if you came to that performance and you watched that game on Saturday night, you'd have gone home entertained. It was a great night of hockey, and Panthers came out winners, and that's all that matters. At the end of the day, we got the W in the right column, and that's it. So it was a great night of hockey. It was, you know, exciting to watch, and I think if you came, you'd have been entertained, and there's a high likelihood you'd want to come back.
Brina, thank heavens you're smiling. You nearly refused to come on the podcast because Tottenham were losing, but two former Forest players, and you're probably in the next round. Right, yeah?
Stressful. I just don't need it. I don't know why I put myself through it.
Don't know why you put yourself through it, but good to see the Forest players bailing you out. Oh, it's finished.
Honestly.
And you're into the fourth round of the League Cup. Well done. How good was Panthers' game management on Saturday? Because 2-0 up, you know, there was then a few things that kind of went against them, wasn't there? They basically, you know, I still can't work out, I don't want to get too controversial, but obviously there was not enough video evidence to when the challenge came. You know, I've been told a few versions of, well, I've been told the story, but basically it was inconclusive. Again, I've not really been able to examine what that means, but obviously I felt Panthers were going to go onto the power play there. They didn't. I think it was because the evidence was inconclusive with the equipment, not quite sure. But obviously then losing Kupacek, then getting back to 2-2, but then seeing out the game 4-2 up and then the late goal, you know, that previous Panthers teams could have lost their way there. I was just impressed with the way that Panthers saw out that game despite a few things going against them.
Yeah, I think me and Jono said it on the commentary that, you know, last year, the year before, I think there's no doubt we would have, you know, potentially crumbled in that game and, you know, it would have at least gone to overtime. But we seem to have a little bit more, you know, a bit more robust, a bit more character. And yeah, you know, we had, like you said, you know, with Kupacek and then, you know, Guildford coming back and tying the game up and exactly the same. When they scored that goal to make it, you know, to only be one goal behind, I think if that had been the last couple of years, it really would have been. But to be honest, even when they scored that goal, I don't know how Jono felt, but I still didn't really feel like we were going to let it slip. It's, you know, very professional. And they just kind of got it over the line. I think we said it in the post-game podcast that, you know, it's not always going to be, you know, a thrashing of a team. There's going to be some really close games this year. And even though it was only in the end a one goal win, so many positives. And I think it's more, you sort of learn more from winning like that. You know, yeah, winning 5-1 is obviously good fun, but it, you know, it's a bit of a, you don't really learn as much. Whereas that, you know, really having to buckle down in that third period, down a defenseman, a little bit of adversity. So no, I thought a lot of good signs, and obviously, you know, a great way to sort of end a 4-point weekend.
Jono, you made a bold statement saying that you thought Friday's game was one of the best for years. I don't have the stats and facts to kind of pull you up too much on that. Obviously, Panthers' road form's not been fabulous in previous years, but there must be the odd one on there that must go high as that. But what in particular made you so wax lyrical about that performance on Friday?
It was the perfect performance. And I think Danny alluded to it in his post-game interview on Saturday, that he said we went on the road and we had the almost perfect performance. And it was. We just completely and utterly controlled the game for the entire 60 minutes on Friday night. We didn't give the Storm a sniff, apart from right at the end where I think they hit the post.
Shorthanded,
Yeah. And apart from that, it was just complete and utter control from the Panthers. And if it hadn't been for Evan Banninger, I think it would have been a lot bigger margin of victory on Friday night. We were just so good. Just the team just clicked. Every single line just seemed to work so well with each other. And scoring four goals, cracking goal by Dedrick Henbrand to start us off. And then the two goals in the second period, Christophe Kontos was in acres of space, beautifully found by Hugo Waugh. And then I think the one from Matt Alfero, which was the goal of the game for me, because where I was sort of sat or stood, I had an angle where I just saw the puck arrow straight into the top corner. I just thought that it was such a great strike and a great goal. And then with Otto finishing it off with, 5 seconds to go, it just capped off a really, really good performance. And I think a lot of us there and a lot of the people I went with certainly wasn't expecting that. I think we was expecting a much tougher game. It's always a tough rink to go into. It's always a tough rink to get a result from. So to go in there and win 4-0, get a shutout for Ryan Bednard as well, you know, just a great, great performance.
I think you're right. And you obviously were there in the building and you know, I only watched it on webcast, but you almost felt from moment one, you know, there was that game earlier in the season, last season, where Panthers were 3-0 up after the first three shifts, and then Manchester roared back. And you could probably argue Panthers were lucky to get that win on that night. But this was just different. They were, I remember thinking that, you know, we dominated the first, 18, the goal came late in the first, didn't it? We dominated a lot of that first. And I was thinking, in my head, I was like, we need to get one soon or we're just going to rue these missed chances. But they kept on going. And once they got that one again, and they never felt that in Manchester, you always feel they're going to come at you hard. And most of the other trips that we've seen Panthers do and go there, there is a spell. Of course, Panthers have been there and won before, but you always feel there's a spell that Manchester will dominate you. And as you said, Jono, it just didn't happen. And it was front to back. You know, not only was the netminder fantastic, but, you know, front to back, the team were fantastic. And then I was, touching on Saturday's win, just as chuffed about that one because it was done in different circumstances. We've talked on pre-games and post-games and the podcast that we now do in the pre-game show. Just a reminder, we are 2 hours before face-off every week in the pre-game show. That takes place in Saltbox. So 5 o'clock this Saturday. We have a variety of topics we talk through on a podcast, various guests. There's sometimes a guest speaker, guest interview, and then a competition where we get people on stage to try and win an array of Panthers prizes. So that happening this Saturday ahead of the game with the Blaze. So I was saying, Kem, we've talked about players that have impressed us, and I feel like we talked about this on Saturday pre-game, but I want to throw a name at you because I think it was one that I threw out there and you said, oh, that was the one I was going to say. But more evidence on Saturday, Dedrick Henbrand is insane right now. He is dominating possession, dominating plays, scoring goals, setting them up. He is perfection right now, isn't he?
He's a joy to watch. And I think we talked, we talked about in pre-game on Saturday. We talked about his speed. We talked about the way he's grown into that second year of his pro career, albeit I think that's a stat we've said first year pro last year, but I think, and Jono will probably correct it, I think he played like a couple of pro games, didn't he? So
he played a couple of games. Well, he's listed as playing two games in the SHL.
I don't think he got on the ice.
I asked him
in an interview and he said, oh, I was just a bench warmer. So I don't think he got on the ice.
Right. Okay. So that clears that. So it's, you know, but certainly not, obviously he didn't do a full season. So it was his first pro season last year and then second this year. And it just feels like he's at home within the side. You know, I personally think my biggest reflection from watching that game on Saturday night was, I'd be interested to see what other you guys think. I just thought the quality of the hockey has stepped up a level since last year.
Yep.
And that's Guildford, that's us, it was fast, it was entertaining.
Yep.
And I just think it's gone up a notch.
I think you are spot on. It was end-to-end stuff. You're right, Ken. Both sides were really, really good. The crispness of passing, you know, from both sides. But, you know, we're here to touch on the Panthers. And I was just so impressed. Just quickly before we finish with Hembrand, he is one of the interviews on the Panthers TV show, which will come out presented by Sam Hurst, where we'll also catch up with Danny Stewart as well. This will go out on Friday. But I ask him about how he feels settled now as a second year pro. And he kind of alluded to, it's more suited to him now. And he was great last year, but this year it's almost like he's got that first season under his belt. We could see he's got this talent, and probably he believes now more than ever he's got that talent, which is massive. Cause you can imagine being a first year pro, it's a different prospect. And he's looking every much the season pro. We need to get this one out of the way. We need to get the sad news out of the way. Greener, you can start on this with Cooper Zek. He's out for, you know, an unknown period of time at the moment as he makes his recovery from a lower body injury. Greener, that's a bitter pill to swallow, because if we're talking about insane Diederik Hembrand at the back, he was lights out. I mean, the defensive played well, but if we can single one out, it was him. He was being a stud there night in, night out, and that's so tough to lose him.
Yeah, it's obviously a massive shame. He's a huge part of that D corps. You know, I think we do have the depth this year where I think all six of our defensemen are excellent. So, you know, obviously you don't want him to be out too long because it just puts, you know, such a stress on the other guys. But, you know, we are pretty well stacked back there. I think the biggest thing is just, A, he's obviously a top player, but I think he does something back there that none of the other guys really do. You know, you have quite a few of the other guys quite similar. You know, they're big, they're physical. They kind of play a very similar game, whereas obviously Cooper's are, you know, very dynamic, offensive. He kind of runs the power play, skates so well. So, you know, obviously you never want to lose anyone, but, you know, he's a bit of a unicorn back there. No one can really replicate what he does. So, but, you know, every team's going to go through injuries. I'm sure other teams are going to lose key players throughout the year. You know, maybe it's better to get it out the way early in the season. But like I said, I do think we're well equipped to cover it. Obviously, whether Jordan Kelsall steps back, whether it's for games at a time or maybe just, you know, the odd shift here or there, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, I think we've got the guys back there to kind of cover. But obviously, it's really hard to replace what he does. So it's definitely going to hurt us a little bit. But, you know, hopefully we can kind of just patch things over till he gets back. And he's pretty young, so hopefully he will he'll heal fast and be back soon.
You make a good point. I mean, there was evidence after we lost Cooper Zek that you know, Jordan didn't immediately drop back. I ponder whether, you know, Danny Stewart will want to roll, you know, play still with four lines of three, go with 5D. And of course, if Jordan, he feels it needed for any period of a game or maybe a certain opposition, then maybe he'll do that. You do feel that's the way. Of course, as we said in the announcement, you know, the activity now to look at replacement has already started, and Panthers will update as soon as there is news on that. And we must all wish Cooper Zek well in his recovery. A great guy off the ice as well. And hopefully he'll be back on the ice as soon as possible. Before we finish with Saturday, Ken, you know, on the ice, there was a star of the show, but how impressed were you with the star of the show off the ice?
Cari Nieminen was incredible. I mean, I got a message I've got to protect my sources, Chris. So I'm not going to say who.
So you got a message from your...
It originated in somewhere in Block 19.
Okay.
And actually, to be fair, the same message from different sources, but it was identified that Otto's dad was in Block 19 and could we get him a shout out? Could we maybe get him on the camera? And he did not disappoint. He was all over the 2-4-set recruitment dance cam and he was just... What a sport, what a gent, what an entertainer. And that's what hockey's all about. Do you know what I mean? Just having some fun. He was dancing. I caught up with him in the green room afterwards at the exclusive post-game press conference. And he was having a beer. We were having a laugh. He sort of said to me, if I ever go to Finland, he'll definitely get his own back on me. But... you know, it was really all really good spirits and yeah, I mean, I think that video has now gone viral. I think, yeah. No, absolutely fantastic. I love spontaneity like that.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant, and it really got the crowd buzzing, and it was just well done for the people that tipped you off, and well done for the match night crew for getting in on the video. Greener, so Coventry on Saturday. What a fascinating battle. Not just one former coach, but two former coaches. Danny Stewart, you know, until this season, synonymous with the Blaze. And, you know, if you talk about Danny Stewart, you probably associated with the Blaze. You know, obviously he had that time with other clubs, including Fife Flyers, but Coventry is where he's done most of his work. And then, of course, Kevin Moore coming back to the Panthers. Great to see Kevin Moore coming back. Great to see, you know, him getting a win on his first game, beating another former Panther in Corey Nielsen. Just gives the Saturday's game a real intrigue, doesn't it, Greener?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can't, again, you guys might, you know, remind me of one, but I can't remember ever having that instance before where there's obviously two coaches, huh? you know, switching teams and, you know, playing against each other straight away. But, you know, obviously, like you said, it adds a bit more, you know, both coaches, obviously we're going to play them a lot of times in the season, but, you know, both coaches will be desperate to win that one. I think obviously Danny, you know, at home after the sort of two game winning streak, you know, he's going to really want to keep that going. But, you know, Kevin Moore, you know, he's just starting out in his journey. I don't think many people, if they're honest, you know, predict Coventry, you know, finishing too high up in the league. But like you said, amazing start in their first game. Great win. Listened to a couple of interviews and everybody was, you know, really praising how well they played, how good their team looks. So I think it'll be quite an exciting game. I think, you know, that will add some spice to it. Both coaches will obviously have their teams, you know, G'd up for that one. And I think Coventry are a little bit of an unknown. You know, obviously they've got a couple of guys back from last year, but new coach, tons of new players. They're obviously going to play a totally different style. So we don't really know what to expect from them. But I think, you know, with that added spice, I think it's going to be a really interesting game either way.
Jono, you know, obviously Kevin Moore was a popular figure amongst the fan base on, you know, throughout the season for obvious reasons. You know, it will be nice, won't it, to see him back in the building.
Yeah, it will. And I'm sure he'll be given a very, very warm reception before face-off, which is what he deserves. But he's gone on to a head coach's appointment, and rightly so. He's going to take that opportunity. As Dan says, they do look very much an unknown quantity. So it'd be interesting to see how they come out on Saturday, how they play on Saturday. A lot of younger players, a few younger Brit players in there. Brinley Capps, he's only 17. I think he's played it for the GB under 18s. I don't think he's played up to under 20 yet. But that's a very interesting appointment. And he scored a few points in pre-season. So it'd be interesting to see how he plays. He was certainly getting some ice time on Sunday as well. from what the stats are saying. So, yeah, it'd be very interesting to see how they play and what sort of team he's put together. It looks quite a young team with a couple of experienced players, a few key returnees as well. So Alexander Kakali in defence has come back. David Clements, obviously, their stalwart Brit defenceman. Also, Kim Talberg returning as captain for his third season. So, yeah, that it's going to be very interesting to see how they play on Saturday. I'm very much looking forward to the game.
Just as you said that, I had not really looked down, seen that Coventry had won and obviously followed that game with interest. But I note here, you talk about Brendy Capps' ice time. He was on the third line on Sunday, which is really interesting to see. So third line minutes for someone so young. That's very impressive indeed. And Kevin Moore did say he was going to give youth a chance when he went out there. And it looks like he's been true to his word there. Moving on to you, Kenneth Feast. Games against Coventry. I mean, we've had some great atmospheres already this season. But, you know, it's a Saturday night. You know, the Motorpoint Arena, Coventry, there's always that long-standing rivalry. There's always a special feel on, on a Coventry Saturday match night, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. As a game, I think that was one of the ones where, with the New Year's Eve game particularly, it got some, you know, over the years, some real spice in those games. Some really, really entertaining contests between the two sides. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be good. I think, you know, I expect Kevin to bring a side in that have an underdog mentality and are galvanized by that. I think they will work very hard. I think that is what will be the kind of the cornerstone of that team. And it'll be interesting. Yeah, it'll be an interesting test for us because I think they'll come in and they'll line up very differently. And we've just got to make sure we stick to our A game and we stick to the plan. I don't really know what to expect other than that. I think the atmosphere is going to be great. I think it'd be a good match to come down and watch. But just Coventry is such an unknown quantity. Anybody who's kind of thinking, what happens, or to answer that question, if you give young British talent enough exposure and enough ice time, what happens within the elite league and what does it do? That experiment is being run this year in Coventry by Kevin Moore.
Yeah.
Make no mistake. That is what is happening. So I'm watching with interest. I'm glad the experiment's happening in Coventry. And I watch with interest. I think if that can be something that it brings on and develops young British talent, then that can only be a good thing for GB and the wider future of the game in this country. Because as we've talked about before, and without trying to go off on a huge tangent, you know, as we go into the next Olympic cycle, because that's got to be the plan, I guess, for GB to try and qualify for an Olympics. There's a lot of players that won't be in the next round of qualifiers that are in the current squad because of age. And we need to bring British talent through, and we need to do that at the same time as putting a very competitive and entertaining product on the ice in the Elite League. And those two things are, we've got to find out if they can coexist together.
Yeah, I think you make a brilliant point, and it's definitely a wider discussion, which we'd either should do, you know, in a pre-game one in Saltbox or somewhere around here. But you're right. You know, the evidence so far is that Kevin Moore is doing that. He's giving that a chance. Would it last all season? You know, I'm going to say I hope so. And let's see how it comes down. But that is really interesting. And we'll get a chance to see how it works on Saturday. Let's just end by talking about the announcement this week that the Adam Johnson retirement ceremony will take place pre-game Saturday, the 14th of December, Panthers against the Fife Flyers. Go to you, Jono. I mean, obviously, you know, you... you knew that announcement when it came would you know, have some lovely outpouring of love from all over the hockey world. It was a decision that obviously the Panthers have said, the management has said they were going to take their time in liaison with the family, and that's what's happened. But that is going to be one special occasion, isn't it, Jono?
Certainly is. Very much so. An occasion for the whole organisation, the fan base, and most importantly, Adam's family. So pleased they'll be coming over to witness that and see it happen. It'll no doubt be a very emotional occasion as well as we retire his number. But yeah, it's great that it's happening, and it's great that there's a date in the calendar now for it.
Echo that, Ken, do you?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's I think the fact that everybody has taken their time to get to that and to get to the point of doing something that is, you know, it's not going to have been rushed. It's going to be with a lot of thought behind it. And as you said, Chris, it went. I think we had that update, and the question was asked when we had that Q&A. It was, you know, we're doing this in the right way. We're taking it kind of in liaison, as you say, with the family. And yeah, just very, I think it will be, so it's going to be a really important night. And I think, you know, if it's handled in the same way as everything else has been, then I think it'll be really special.
Yeah, and Greener, you know, there's, you know, shirt retirements are obviously very special. This one is one that's kind of very unique. But I guess, you know, there's been lots of tears shed over Adam Johnson, but this will be, I guess, a celebration, not just a celebration of what he did and the impact he made on Nottingham in the short time he was here, but, you know, a chance for people around the world to celebrate what he did for their club. And he did it, of course, for some of the best clubs in the world.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, obviously when the tragedy happened, it hit everybody really hard, and, you know, took a long time to kind of, you know, well, obviously, you'll sort of never get over it, but, you know, just kind of get back on the ice and keep moving. But exactly like you guys said, it's good that it's been given some time, you know, given the family, you know, a lot of time. It'll be kind of over a year by the time it comes around. And yeah, it'll just be a chance. It'll obviously still be sad for a lot of people, but it will be a chance to reflect back now, you know, over a year on, and look back and kind of celebrate his life, like you said, not just for the Panthers, but for every team he's played for. So, you know, again, I think just to echo, I think they've done a good job waiting a little while, letting everything kind of settle. Obviously, the family's had a big impact in, a big say in what's going to happen. And yeah, you know, I think as well, being, you know, us the 5-2 of the kind of oldest teams, if not the two oldest in the country, is, you know, quite a cool storyline. And yeah, it'll just kind of hopefully bring the whole hockey world back together again. So yeah, it should be a great night.
Yeah, poignant way to finish. Thanks, guys, for your thoughts on that. And we look forward to seeing you at the weekend. Just to remind you, of course, 7 o'clock against Coventry Blaze, and tickets still available for the game in the Challenge Cup. And why not join us if you haven't yet? And if you have, you know, we enjoy your company. Come back again. And if you haven't, come and check out what we call the pre-game show in Saltbox. Most weeks there's a feature interview, maybe a Panther current, Panthers past, or maybe somebody from the world of ice hockey in some form. Changes every week. There's a chance to win prizes with a quiz on stage with Sam Hurst, who leads that show. And then the Panthers pre-game podcast as well. A variety of people. Sometimes it's some of us. We've got extra guests, obviously, in the past, like Chris Gadsby and Steph Litchfield, and plenty of hockey talk. So the perfect way to get yourself in the mood for the game. But tickets still available. As usual, you can get them via the website panthers.co.uk. Just follow the links there to get your tickets. Or also, if you're the type of person who wants to buy on the day, they are available ahead of face-off on the day as well. But for now, on the pre-game podcast, it's thanks for joining us.